Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the word of the Lord that brings life. God, I thank you that you've prepared each one of us to receive today what you're speaking to us, to the church, and to individually. God, we just thank you for that. Let it penetrate into our heart and our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a stool up here. My grandson Bryson put it here because I slept wrong and my knee hurts. So I'm not sure exactly how I was sleeping, but when I woke up, it was like, ah. And I have a bed bug named Javen who likes to sleep right on top of me and throw her legs over me. And I just think I ended up in an awkward position. Either that or the dogs jumped up and slept on my knee. I don't know. Anyway, if I have to sit down, I'm going to sit down. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we are going to talk today about God's purpose for you. And God has a purpose for each one of us. I read a quote that said, there are two great days in a person's life, the day we're born and the day we discover why. And there's a lot of other great days, but those are two significant days when we realize why we were put on this earth. Psalm 138:8 says this, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." The emphasis in the scripture is that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. He didn't say he would fulfill my purpose for me. Amen? He said he will fulfill his purpose for me. There's a big difference between what's mine and his. Amen? So God doesn't guarantee that he will fulfill my purpose, but he does promise that he will fulfill his purpose. And he even goes on and talks about his steadfast love. His steadfast love is his faithful covenant with every one of us. We are his children. He is our father. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. And when we were born again, God released to us the seed of purpose inside of each one of us. He already decided what we were going to do before we were ever born. But there has to be a birthing by the Spirit of God for us to begin to understand and realize what that is. Otherwise, we're dead towards God. Is that right? Is that what the scripture says? Until we're born again, we're dead towards God. So God has a purpose. In Philippians 2:13 it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Tell your neighbor, God has a good purpose for you. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Tell your neighbor, the Lord's purpose will prevail. Last Wednesday morning, I came in and I was sitting and I was praying here in the auditorium, and I heard the Lord speak this to us. I was praying for the church and I heard the Lord say, "I'm faithful to those who are faithful to me. I will manifest my grace in your lives and I will fulfill my purpose in you." God is faithful to those who are faithful. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now that word "rewarder" comes from the root word that means to pay for service. God's a rewarder for those who serve him. Without faith, we have to have faith. Without faith, we cannot please him. But with faith in God and diligently seeking the Lord, he rewards us. How many like rewards? Hey, I'll work hard for a reward. Sometimes I even reward myself because I did work so hard, you know. But it means to pay for service. It also means to give and to restore. When we seek the Lord, God restores back to us what the enemy stole from us. When we were living a life from sin and Satan was taking advantage of us and we were being a fool, not for Christ, but a fool out in the world, serving the world, there's a lot that needs to be restored. Is there anyone here that's been restored by God that was a fool out in the world? But God begins to reward. He begins to restore us, to heal us, to give back to us. As we seek Him, as we search out, as we crave, worship, and seek after God carefully, He rewards us. So as I was praying into this word about God will fulfill His purpose in us, I'm like, Lord, what are some steps that we can take to move towards fulfilling that purpose? And He said, one was seek me, two is praise me, and three is obey me. And I said, Lord, give me an example in the scripture. And He took me to Jonah. He said, it's right in the story of Jonah. So we're going to take a look, just a short, brief look at Jonah's life this morning. But God came to Jonah and He talked to him. And He wanted Jonah to deliver a message to the Ninevites. And the message was that they were to repent for their wickedness and turn from their evil ways. Otherwise, God was going to release His judgment on the people in the city of Nineveh, and He was going to destroy all of them. Now, this is the message to Prophet Jonah to take to this city. So we're going to start reading in Jonah 1, 1 through 3. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. In other words, the wickedness of this city had reached such a high degree that God was going to address it. The same thing is said about Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis. The evil was so great. All right, let's go on. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. It's interesting how Jonah was out of the will of God, yet he was able to get a ticket and get on board a ship and flee from what God had asked him to do. So he was actually avoiding what God had asked him to do. It probably looked like too hard of a task, too big of a task. The people of Nineveh, they had a really rough reputation, and they were very barbaric, and they were heathen. They were a heathen country. They worshipped idols. And he probably thought, no way am I going to go. So he purposely refused God. He knew exactly his purpose that God had asked him to fulfill, and he rebelled against God. So, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. It's interesting how God uses His wind to change courses in our life. But then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The Lord began to speak to me about this, because Jonah was in direct rebellion to God, knew exactly what he was supposed to do, but yet he refused God, got on the ship, this huge storm comes along, and the guy is sleeping. Which shows that we can be out of the will of God, and it not even bothering us or phasing us, because we just go to sleep. We're spiritually asleep. I'm not talking about someone who wasn't saved. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. And so the Lord is talking to us. Are we asleep in what God has asked us to do? But he sent the storm. The wind began to blow. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that God holds the wind in his fists. Can you imagine how big God's hands are? He holds it in his fists and he must squeeze it and direct it where he wants it to go. How awesome is that? And so I didn't put all the passage on the screen, but what happened was the captain of the ship went down to wake him up. And he said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us that we will not perish. You see, the rest of the men on the ship had been crying out to their gods. They'd been crying out to every god except for the God who sent the wind. And so the captain was shaking him up and said, you know, what kind of work do you do? What country do you come from? Why has this trouble come upon all of us? And so he took him up to meet with the men, and the men asked him, who are you? And he said, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And they asked him, what terrible thing have you done to bring this upon all of us? And the sea kept getting rougher, and they asked him, what can we do? What can we do so that your God will calm the sea? And Jonah told him to throw him overboard. Well, they didn't want to do that. So they kept rowing and trying to stabilize the ship, but it would not stabilize. So finally they said, Lord, forgive us for killing this innocent man. And they picked him up and they threw him overboard. And that's where we're going to pick it up in verse 16 and 17. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And Jesus makes reference to that. 3 days and three nights he would be in the belly of the earth, just as Jonah. So you know he didn't die on Friday night and rise on Sunday morning. Y'all know that, right? Because that's not 3 days and three nights. So it's a little bit different than that. But anyway, the steps that God was talking to me about was seeking, praising, and obeying. And so when you start in chapter 2, you see Jonah seeking God. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, none of this is true yet, but he's praying in faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God had answered Jonah's prayers before. He obviously had a relationship with him, that God spoke to him directly. And so here's Jonah in the belly of a whale. He's in quite a predicament. And many of us find ourselves in predicaments and tight places that when we begin to seek God, amen? You usually don't call out to the Lord until you are in trouble. Have you ever noticed that? We need to call upon him while he's near, amen? But anyway, Jonah said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All the waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, and seaweed was wrapped around my head. Sometimes we go through life like seaweed is wrapped around our heads. He said, you've taken me to the roots of the mountain, and I sank down. The earth beneath buried me forever. Jonah was looking for and believing that God would have favor on his life. He must have realized how much God loved him and that God is a God of the second chance. Amen. Aren't you glad? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad. So in Jonah 2, 7 through 8, it says, "But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them." So the men on the ship that were worshiping idols, they found out that their idols, their gods did not answer, and they were actually turning away from God. When we go our own way, when we do what we want to do instead of what God is asking us to do, we actually are rejecting God's love for us and His mercy for us and the blessing that He has for us. Because when we walk in God's purpose, our destiny is fulfilled. When we walk in God's purpose, everything that we need, He will supply. We have seen Him do it over and over again. Our church will be 20 years old this year. 20 years old, and God does it over and over again because He is faithful to those who are faithful to Him. He hears us cry out from the depths, and He answers our prayer. He loves us more than you can realize. He loves you more than you can realize. Hallelujah. So Jonah begins to praise God. He really didn't have anything to praise Him about at the time. Have you ever been in that place? You don't have nothing to praise God about? Things are not going your way? But that did not keep Jonah from praising God. And this is what the scripture says in Jonah 2, 9 and 10. He said, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Jonah began to praise Him. And that's that Tota praise. Tota praise is an extension of the hand in adoration and thanksgiving unto God. It's like lifting your hands and giving Him a thanksgiving offering. When we say, "Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord," hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and thank the Lord for His goodness and just give Him a praise offering? You might be in a tough situation right now, but when we praise the Lord, He hears our cry. He hears our cry. We praise Him in the hard times. Praise Him in the difficult times, because our God will come through for you, because He will fulfill His purpose in you. Jonah had a purpose to be fulfilled, and he knew if he praised God, God would deliver him. Salvation comes from the Lord. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, it comes from God. You're not going to get it any other way. You're not going to get it any other way. Promotion comes from the Lord too. So as we praise God, we know that God will give us promotion. Hallelujah. So Jonah obeyed God. He sought Him. He praised Him. And then in Jonah 3, 1 through 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. Think about that. It was a heathen nation. They served idols, but they believed God. They believed this prophet that was coming through their city. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. So Jonah obeyed God. Jonah preached the message that God provided for him at the time. The city of Nineveh was about, history says, 48 miles around in circumference. It was a very, very large city. And what I felt like the Lord spoke to me was great cities, as well as great people, still come under God's judgment and God's government.
Amen. Amen.
It was a heathen city, but God wanted to have mercy on them. He didn't want to destroy them. He sent a prophet to warn them. And the prophet had to go through a process, right? Before he would do what God asked him to do. But that was God's purpose for him. And God has purpose for us. When Jonah went through that city, he preached doom and the people repented. And God showed compassion on the wicked, but yet repentant Ninevites, and withheld his threatened destruction. God is willing to forgive nations if nations are willing to repent. Help us, Lord. So as I sought the Lord and I said, God, what is your purpose for us? There are many things that we do, but what is the one thing that we should be excellent at? And he said, ministers of reconciliation. That is why I sent Jonah to Nineveh. That is my purpose for my church in the earth. There's an army rising up that not only preach the good news of the gospel, which is the government of God. We're in God's government when we come into the kingdom. But preach the gospel and share the gospel with demonstration and power.
Amen.
There's a wind that's blowing in the body of Christ. And we prophesy to the dry bones to come alive. There's an army rising up. Bishop Hammond prophesied about the army of the Lord that God would raise up in the last days. I believe God is sounding the alarm through the prophets because the wickedness of America is coming up before God. And we cry out for our nation to repent, our people to repent and turn from their evil ways and give their heart to God. And we thank you, Lord, that you begin to clean out those that are in leadership and you begin to purge out those who are in leadership who are not serving you, who do not have the mind of God and the heart of God for the United States of America. You are able to do that, Lord. You are able to do that. As the church, we stand in the gap and we pray in the spirit realm. And God begins to orchestrate things upon the earth. God is raising up a spiritual army to pray. To pray. We have authority to legislate. We have authority over principalities and powers. Begin to grab a hold of what God has given to us as the church. You don't go to battle alone. Come on. Come on. We go to battle with the saints of God. With the Lord at the head. So in Hebrews 2:17, the scripture talks about Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That was the Lord's purpose when he came into the earth, was to make reconciliation for our sins. We were dead in sin. We didn't even have a chance until Jesus came and gave his life for us. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, for this great salvation you've given to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was the reason he came, because when he did that, he fulfilled his purpose of destroying Satan and sin. He said, for this reason I came into the earth, to destroy the works of the devil. You see, when he did that, He destroyed the works of the devil. He took principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. There was a big parade. We didn't get to see it, but someday we'll see the rerun. There was a big parade for his victory. And then he ascended on into heaven and sprinkled the mercy seat with his blood. And his blood still cries out today to have mercy upon each one of us. And I'm so thankful that the blood is crying out for me. Have mercy on Janet. Have mercy on her. I'm so thankful God has mercy upon us. And that he's faithful to those who are faithful. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we seek him, we praise him, we obey him. In 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Can someone just say, wow? Wow. He's a wow God. So we are Christ's ambassadors, and we proclaim the gospel of his kingdom, the good news of the government of God. I'm glad I'm in God's healthcare system. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My premium does not go up. And everything is covered in God's healthcare system. Can somebody say amen? Amen? I'm glad that I am in his economic system. Because all the gold is his. All the silver is his. All the cattle is his. God has an abundant supply for each one of us. For our River of Life Church to fulfill our purpose in him. To be ministers of reconciliation. Every Sunday morning we send you out into the harvest field. Into the highways and byways to bid people to come. Leading them to the Lord and inviting them to come and be a part of the army of the Lord. To be taught, to be trained, to be equipped. My heart was thrilled this morning as the children did their song. Did that not touch your heart? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Raise up an army of children who know their God. Because for those who know their God, they will do great miracles. Hallelujah. From the least to the greatest, God is calling us. He is calling us to be ministers of reconciliation. The message of the kingdom is be reconciled to God. You cannot hide from God. He knows where you are. He knows your number. You might try to avoid him like Jonah tried to avoid God and not fulfill his purpose. I'm sure it'd be interesting to know everything that was going through Jonah's head when he decided he was not going to go, but the Bible doesn't give us all of that information. It's like when we've been asked to go to Africa. We've been asked several times. Africa isn't a place that you just go, oh yeah, I'd love to go to Africa. Oh sure, take me. You know, the devil doesn't want you in Africa. As soon as I landed and got to the house, it was like, whoa, you know, the witchcraft and the occult and all of the ruling principalities and power, they were just stirring. They knew that we were in town. And we began to pray and intercede because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You see, the people are hungry for God. They want something different than what they have because what they have is not working for them. So people are hungry for the truth. God puts that God hunger on the inside of them. But we began to pray and intercede. And Apostle Ron, the first night we were there, I had a visitation from a principality in power. He had a dream. And in the dream, he saw us going down the road, and a bus came along to cut us off, and there was an accident, a serious accident. And so we began to pray and intercede into that, because the devil's not going to take us out when God has given us an assignment to go. But God told us that we have all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. So we began to pray and declare and decree that this accident was not going to come to pass. And the morning that we left to go to the first village for the crusade, we were only about an hour into our drive, and we were downtown Nairobi, and traffic everywhere, rainy morning, and we started to go around a turnaround, and this bus came out of nowhere and came right in front of us, and Bishop Owino slammed on his brakes. We slid, and we were about that close to that bus. It was that close. And Apostle Ron said, "Oh yeah, that's what I saw in the dream." But you see, no weapon formed against us will prosper when we're fulfilling God's assignment for us. The Lord sends angels round about us to encamp around about us and to protect us and to keep us so that we will fulfill His purpose. Our intent was, "Lord, we will do what you've asked us to do." I mean, he just put you in places out of your comfort zone. Did I want to go to a crusade out in the middle of the jungle? No, that is not my safe place. My personal purpose is to provide a safe and loving environment where godly wisdom can be imparted that will nurture and teach and encourage all those around me. That's my place. That's my purpose. And he said, Bishop Owino said, "You're the crusade speaker." I'm like, "What? Open air crusade, you saw him, you know, here we go." I thought, "God, you are just, you know, like Jonah, I probably would have liked to run. You are passed the baton on to, you know, somebody else." But God called me, and 100 people got saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I had to step out of my comfort zone. This is not comfortable. So you know what? As we fulfill our purpose to share the good news of the gospel, well, we're going to step out of our comfort zone. God will set us up. Because I think he enjoys seeing us step out of our comfort zone. I called you to witness to that person. Yeah, Damon, he called you to witness. He has people assigned to you to share the good news of the gospel and how good God's been to you. You see, God's a good God, and he will fulfill his good purpose in us. It's a good purpose. It's a good purpose. Think about it. When one soul is saved, the angels throw a party in heaven. Hallelujah. They rejoice over one. And see, we have this idea, well, one isn't enough. Or there should be more. One is plenty. One is plenty. You know, the Lord said to the faithful servant, he didn't say, "Well done, thou good and successful servant." He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, people equate success with lots of numbers. That's not how God thinks. If just one gives their heart to the Lord, there's a big party in heaven. Hallelujah. Michael's up there and celebrating those parties up there when one comes. Yeah, I bet he was like, when in Africa, he's probably like, "Wow!" Think about your loved ones that are in heaven. And they get to be in on that party. So every time we fulfill God's purpose for us as being ministers of reconciliation, they get to throw a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. So we are Christ's ambassadors and we proclaim the message, be reconciled to God. At our Wild West Fest, this is our outreach. This is a big outreach. Invite people to come, people who aren't saved. A lot of times young families will come if there's something for the children to do. They're looking for clean family fun. It's no expense. There's no charge at the door. And Pastor Leonard is setting up a table with the salvation bracelets. People can come and sit down at the table and make a salvation bracelet. We need volunteers that will sit there and talk about salvation. It's not just about putting the beads on the leather. It is about going through the scriptures on the salvation bookmark and sending them home with the bookmark and their bracelet. It's a great opportunity. It sounds real simple, right? It's like, oh, well, that's not much. One person. If one person is saved that Saturday, Michael gets to be at that party in heaven. Hallelujah. Because the angels are going to be rejoicing. And the saints are shouting hallelujah. You know they are. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And no good thing does he withhold from us. 2 Corinthians 6:1-3 says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says... Now listen to this. You are co-workers with God. We co-labor with the Lord. Tell your neighbor, the Lord's my co-worker. He said, in the time of favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. I have received that prophetic word from several prophets around the world. Now, Janet, is the time of God's favor for River of Life Church and the River of Life people. We have seen God favor you individually. All the raises that Jeff has gotten, we see that favor and all of the success that Janet and Benito have had. We see God's favor. Chase and Susan's success, that God has blessed you financially and given you a greater portion for the greater mouths that you have to feed. Hallelujah. Angela's raised. Several people in this place have been blessed by God. And God said, now is the time of favor. Now is the day of salvation. And God wants us to shift our mindset from, well, when we get to church, we can get people saved. No, when you get out in the street, it's time to get people saved. You're the army God is raising up. Seek him. Praise him. Obey him. And I'm going to ask if praise team will come up so we can do our closing song. God will fulfill his purpose in us. Last scripture in Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. His good purpose is to reconcile people back to God. Jesus made reconciliation for all of our sins, and God will fulfill his purpose in you. And that purpose is to be ministers of reconciliation. And if there's anyone here this morning who has never asked the Lord into their heart, into their life, today is the day of salvation. Today is the favor of the Lord. We are believing God for souls for the kingdom. We started this church by going out into the highways and byways. We didn't start with people who were already churched, although we were thankful when they came because it's a lot of work getting out in the harvest field. A lot of people came in, they tried it, they couldn't take it. It was too much work. You can't run from the call of God on your life. Amen. God is calling us to rise up and be those ministers of reconciliation, taking it into the highways and byways. All of you should have had an invitation, an insert in your bulletin today, that you can leave somewhere, a hand to someone, and invite them personally. And once again, it takes all of us to be able to do this outreach. So I encourage you, sign up to do something. If you can just give an hour, it's only from 1 to 5. It's not that long. And then I was trying to think about, seems like there's two things that we do a year. Oh, yes, the second one that we do every year is we host the Christmas dinner for Oak Lawn. And we always need volunteers for that. So when I know the date for that, I will let you know. But that is an awesome opportunity to mingle with the people of the community and to pray for them and to serve them and to love on them and just enjoy a day with them. So those are two major things that we do here at River of Life, to reach out with the love of God into the community and to bring salvation to those who don't know the Lord, and healing for those who are hurting. God's got a lot in store for us, and I appreciate every one of you. I know your heart is to help, your heart is to encourage, your heart is to be a part of what God's doing. So, Lord, we say today, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We will fulfill your purpose. And we thank you, God, for all of your provision. Let's just stand this morning. We're going to pray and we're going to close with a song, I Give Myself Away. So, Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our hearts and our lives. God, that we will be servants to you, ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors in the earth, co-working with you. We thank you, God, for every member. Those who are not here today, strengthen them, encourage them, bless them. Lord, I thank you that you're taking this message out into the highways and byways. We thank you, Lord, for those, God, that use our messages in their own churches. We've gotten people send us emails that from overseas that listen to our messages and they teach them to their own congregation. So, Lord, I thank you. We never know how the word's going to go out, but God just told us, preach the word. Amen. So we release the word of the Lord to go out into the airwaves. Lord, that your word performs what it's sent out to do, and people will hearken to the purpose, Lord, just like we are answering the call this morning. You're challenging us to step up. Lord, we take that step. In Jesus' name, amen.